Good evening and welcome to worship. I want to let you know that next Monday is Labor Day, so we will not have meditative worship next Monday night, but we'll be back together again in 2 weeks. Let's begin tonight with a word of prayer. Holy and gracious God, as we gather into this space tonight, we pray that we might know and trust your presence here. As we hear your word, might we be guided in your way. May our hearts be open to you. May our lives be continued to be transformed by you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Be at peace as you listen for the Holy One. Tonight's scriptures come from 1 Kings 19, verses 11 through 13, and Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7. And our topic is ways of hearing God. From Kings. So the angel said, "Go and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And the Lord passed by, a strong wind tore through the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, the earth shook, but the Lord was not in the shaking of the earth. After the earth shook, a fire came, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a sound of gentle blowing. When Elijah heard it, he put his coat over his face and went out, and he stood at the opening of the hole. Then a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And from Proverbs, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God, run from evil. Allow God to direct you to a word or phrase from the second reading. So the angel said, "Go and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And the Lord passed by, a strong wind tore through the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, the earth shook, but the Lord was not in the shaking of the earth. After the earth shook, a fire came, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a sound of gentle blowing. When Elijah heard it, he put his coat over his face, and he went out and he stood at the opening of the hole. Then a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And from Proverbs, "Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God, run from evil." During the silence, you're invited to come forward to light a candle to signify a prayer intention or other understanding between you and God. You may also come to the prayer bench to receive prayer for you or another. And for those of you wishing to give a tithe or an offering, you're welcome to do that as you come forward to light a candle for communion or as you exit the worship center. So the angel said, "Go and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And the Lord passed by, a strong wind tore through the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, the earth shook, But the Lord was not in the shaking of the earth. After the earth shook, a fire came, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a sound of gentle blowing. When Elijah heard it, he put his coat over his face, and he went out and he stood at the opening of the hole. Then a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Our final reading. So the angel said, "Go and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And the Lord passed by. A strong wind tore through the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, the earth shook. But the Lord was not in the shaking of the earth. After the earth shook, a fire came. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a sound of gentle blowing. When Elijah heard it, he put his coat over his face and went out and stood at the opening of the hole. Then a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. So have you ever thought, I wish God would just speak to me. All I hear is silence. I talk and I talk and I talk to him, but my words just fall on deaf ears. Or you may be wondered if what you've heard or experienced is really God interacting with you. It's like, is this really you, God? But what if God's presence and his ways of communicating with us are actually all around us, and what's missing is our awareness of the many ways God uses to connect with us? So tonight I thought we'd share a collection of ways that I've witnessed God communicating with myself and with others, with the hope of just helping each one of us tune into what God has for each of us as we walk through this journey called life. So at times God communicates with us in such subtle ways that if we aren't paying attention and we're too busy, kind of caught up in living life, or we don't even know what to expect, we are going to just miss them. They're whispers, or maybe a single word, or a tiny nudge, or just one simple little occurrence. And other times, he speaks with a really strong wind in ways it's hard to miss unless we actually choose to ignore his message, or we just truly don't realize that that's God who's reaching out to us. These are the moments where it's like he's using these neon signs, really bright, flashing neon signs, to get our attention. And I can tell you that I've experienced that kind of get my attention and the nudges, and I very much prefer the nudges, because he has actually used my falling downstairs, which I've shared before, as a way to get me to see a point he was trying to make. How can something so small have such a big impact in my life? So I fell down, tumbling down the stairs. I was okay. But every time after that, what did I do? I paid attention to holding onto the rail, to watching where my feet were, to just fear of falling down the stairs. And that took all of 2 seconds of my life. So like I said, I understand. Things impact us. You don't need to send me down the stairs again. So as we actually learn to discern God's movement in our lives, we come to find out that he speaks to us both on our own behalf, but also on the behalf of others. So our ability to not only hear, but also act on these prompts, it enriches both our lives and the lives of others whom we come across. So I remember it was about 9 or 10 years ago. This was in my earlier days of healing and my deep dive. There was a friend, and she would actually send me a scripture. And she said, I read the scripture. God told me I was supposed to send it specifically to you. And it would be spot on meaningful to exactly what I needed in the moment I was in, that day, that moment. Now, she had a choice to make, right? She could have ignored it. She got this nudge, and she didn't act on it. She could have done that. She'd still be going to heaven. He still loves her, right? That wouldn't have changed anything. But she chose to act on it. And by her acting on it, what it did for me is it gave me a sign of God's presence. She helped me understand ways that he can use others to reach out to me. And for her, because it was meaningful to me when she would share a scripture, it was kind of a confirmation to her that she indeed did hear from God, and she was blessed then to have shared it with me. And a few years ago, a former healing care group got together, and they had a reunion at Kelly's house. And she had graciously found these scripture rocks to give us. I'm a big fan of having memory things around me. And this is the one that was for me. Psalm 105, verse 4. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. So it's just a little rock with a cross, and it has that scripture on it. Again, and that day that I was at Kelly's house, this is the exact scripture that I needed to hear that day. So this rock and this scripture, they're in my home, in my little dish that I have of things that are meaningful to me that I don't want to forget about, and they stay in my little bowl. So one day, the person that was walking alongside me for my inner healing work, she was driving to one of our sessions, and God told her he had a song that he wanted her to give to me. So she's kind of coming up with, well, what about this one or this one? And he's going, no, and no. She randomly turned on her music on her playlist, and this song played that she didn't even know was on her playlist. And it played immediately whenever she turned it on. And he said, that's the one. And so she gifted me with that particular song, and this was like 7 or 8 years ago. And today, it's still a meaningful song. So every time I hear it, I'm reminded of who he is for me and that moment that she gifted me with following a nudge that God gave to her. And have you ever been somewhere where you got a nudge to do something that was really out of the ordinary? It's like not something you would typically do. That could be God. I was in line at my mom's bank once, and when I got to the teller window, I got this nudge to give her my necklace. Now, really, give her my necklace? Are you serious? I didn't question it. It was a necklace that had special meaning for me because it was from one of my favorite jewelers in Texas. It was a cross, like a silver cross, and it had a butterfly in silver around it. And it represented my journey of transformation. And so I wore it all the time because I like tactile and visual reminders of my journey. But while it was odd and unusual, without hesitation, I took off my necklace and I told the teller, I said, God told me to give you this necklace because you needed it. And I told her what it represented to me. She cried and she said it spoke to her as well. So while I gave up something that was very special to me, and he didn't say I couldn't replace it, he just said give it to her, my heart was full and overflowing, being able to actually follow his lead and gift something to someone who needed it more than I did. And again, I could have ignored that nudge, but look what happened, and look what I would have missed if I hadn't acted on the nudge. So I thought, let's look at just some other ways that he may be speaking to us and ways that we can place ourselves into his path so that we can hear him speak. So sometimes there's these seemingly random things that happened that aren't so random. Instead, they are God ordained. Some of you may know Kitty, and she granted me permission to actually use the story. Thank you. Years ago, she participated in our women's healing care group. Now, the overall purpose of a healing care group is to deepen our relationship with God, to have it be deeper and more personal and intimate. And we do this by bringing Jesus into our place of pain and brokenness for healing. So one night, Kitty comes to the group, and she's talking about how difficult it is for her to hear God. She's like, she doesn't believe he is there, or even wants to have a relationship with her. He's just not there. So she continues, we unfold, you know, this with her, and she shared how she was having a really tough day that day, and she was driving along, and she had this, you know, when you get the palms on Palm Sunday and you make them into a cross, she had hers hanging on her rearview mirror. It was always there. She's driving along. What do you think fell into her lap? This cross, right? Unprovoked. It just kind of fell. So Tammy, my co-leader, she and I just kind of looked at each other and we smiled. And we say, Kitty, how do you think that cross just happened to fall in your lap? But God. So then she continued to say, you know, how right after that moment, she turned on her radio and her favorite Lauren Daigle song was on. Of all the possible songs that could be playing in that moment, Look Up Child by Lauren Daigle was playing. Again, Kitty, right, she wasn't looking for this, so she's just explaining to that. Tammy and I looked at each other again, and we're kind of smiling and giggling a little bit. And I said, Kitty, who do you think placed that song to be played at that exact moment that you needed it? But God. So here's the beauty of that moment. Kitty was able to see that God had actually been present with her and engaging with her. It was her awareness of his presence that was actually missing. And that's just something that can be learned. We aren't just like, it's like parenting, you aren't born with a manual. We're not born with this way to learn how to interact with God. It's something that we get to learn. But once we begin to see the ways he speaks to us, we become more open, more curious, and more aware of when it's going on. Here's the other beauty of that moment. Because Kitty had the courage in a group to be vulnerable and admit it was difficult for her to experience God, the entire group was then able to be present during that conversation and see the way that God was there for her and then become, again, curious in their life and start looking for where he's in their life. So another way God might speak to us is through activities that we engage in. And these opportunities, it's kind of important for us to stay present. You have to be in that moment and kind of recognize what story God might be unfolding for us. And it's actually right before our eyes. But we have to be looking for it and open to it. I wrote in a recent SCMU Weekly, the devotional, how God used this boring task of weeding my yard to unveil the similarities between weeding and the types of weeds I had in my yard to my ongoing healing and spiritual transformation journey. Now, that isn't what I started out to do when this happened. I was actually practicing using a rote task of weeding to let my mind ponder life. Because for me, it's super difficult the way my brain works. I'm either weeding or I'm painting, and I can't do anything else. My mind does not go anywhere to just ponder life. And I was instructed by my person, Kim, to have my journal handy. And so before doing the task of weeding, I thought, I need to have something to ponder while I weed. I got quiet, and I came up with something. And that's what I started thinking about while I weeded. But here's how God orchestrates differently than how Becky's mind works. As soon as I began weeding, God would tell me something about the weed or the process of weeding and how it relates to me. I'd pause, grab my journal, and I'd write and capture that. Had my phone with me, I'd take a picture of that weed or the process, whatever was meaningful. And then I would continue to do the task of weeding. About 5 minutes later, God would give me another connection and I'd grab my journal, take a picture, capture whatever it was he was speaking to me about. Over and over I did this process. I literally spent 8 hours weeding and I only got halfway through my yard. It was a beautiful day. It was kind of like the day today. And I loved it. I could have actually spent that entire time and got all the weeding done, right? But the nuggets of wisdom that I gained by giving God a chance to speak to me and what I was doing, and I got to tell you, weeding is boring. It was priceless to have that time with him. I had to be open to letting him make the connections and to not ignore them, or not to be so focused on the task at hand, right, the weeding, that I gave up this wonderful opportunity. So maybe God speaks to some of us when we're in nature. Because I know, Ted, I know he speaks to you because just by the post that you get if you follow him on Facebook, his pictures are so beautiful. And I know that's God bringing those into his view. What do you notice when you're in nature? Do you find peace in your soul there? Is there a calm that comes over you as soon as you enter into nature? Tammy and I went down to Hocking Hills. And when we would finally drive to the part of the park where the forest was, there was a collective awe in the car as soon as we hit that space. It couldn't not be there. In those moments, that's God meeting us. When in nature, if you allow yourself to pause and just be, what do you see? What do you feel? How does God use things in nature to unfold a story that's actually just for you? I was sitting, I was at an abbey of the Genesee, along the Genesee River years ago. We were on a silent retreat. And I was noticing how I was on the river, and it was right at the turn, and the water upriver was super calm. The water downriver was super calm. But the river right in front of me, take that, widen it, high edges. I actually have, like, I don't know if you can see it, but it's a picture here, and it's the rapids that were going between the two parts of calm. And there were different sized boulders. Some were above the water, some were below the water. And God said that he was using that to help me understand that the only way for me to get to the calm waters that are downstream, where I long to be in my life, was by going through the difficult rapids that were right in front of me. That if I tried going near the shore, and I looked along the shore, there were these leaves that got caught up. They couldn't flow down the river. They were stagnant, caught in a puddle. And they were just withering away. They were stuck. And he also told me that I wouldn't be alone through the rapids. Cool. So continuing with the water rapids theme, I once had Jesus use kayaking as a way to explain where he was when I was going through a difficult time. He said, I'm in front of your kayak, I am beside your kayak, and I'm behind your kayak. And if your kayak turns over, I'm there with you too. And I'm holding on to you. He said, but you need to quit trying to back paddle that kayak to keep from going through the rapids, because that's really exhausting and it's not getting you anywhere. So I'm somebody, like I said, that I have to have, after I have these moments, I want visual reminders because it creates new neural pathways in our brain, and I always like visual or tactile reminders. Thank you, Amazon, my favorite friend, but I go on Amazon and I find me a little kayak. And it stays in my, right now this is in my room at home, so I can see it. Because every time I see that, what do I think? I think about God being with me and going through the rapids, not trying to backpedal. Another way of finding God and experiencing him being with us is through the spiritual practice of scripture reading. Like we do here, right? When we do Lectio Divina, we practice it and we get quiet and we allow him to speak through the verses. There's also, people say, it's awesome to enter into a scripture, like a scripture story. And you use your imagination, you enter into it. Maybe you're just an observer, or maybe you're actually taking on one of the characters and you see what's going on. So if you've ever read through the 23rd Psalm, letting yourself actually interact as if you're the one that's lying in the green pastures, or you're the one that's by the water and you listen to it, or you're the one being led, it's an excellent way for you to experience Jesus in his presence. Or listening to Jesus when he talks about the children coming to him, you allow yourself to enter into that. Which child are you? And as you're going to Jesus, what is he doing? What does his face look like as you approach him? What does that feel like for you to be a child in his presence? So there's so many ways you can use scripture and entering into it like that. So it's helpful to have a few prompts as we to connect with Jesus during our day. This isn't something that we just do because we're having our quiet devotional time in the morning. We can do these little check-ins all the time. And these prompts are kind of, to me, quick touch points, and they can be done anytime, anywhere. One of them would be, Lord, what is your invitation in this moment or in this situation? I could have sat there on the river of the Genesee and just said, oh, that's really nice water, isn't it pretty? Good fall day, and got nothing more out of it. And it would still have been a bang up time, right? Because I didn't know what I was missing. But by just saying, what's your invitation? What are you showing me here? And then pausing, all the other unfolded. Or, Lord, where are you? So you're going through something. Even in joy, right? Lord, where are you in this joy? Or Lord, how do you want to meet me in this? And just wait and see what he says and see what he does. So as we learn ways to connect with God and we increase our awareness of his presence and we get still and we quiet ourselves to let that presence unfold, we come to see the many ways God is actually active in our lives. And we begin to see him in places that we never knew before. So this is show and tell, by the way. This is a gold heart. Used to not be, but one time I was in a session and God told me, or Jesus told me that my heart was made of gold. And so I needed to have memory of my heart being made of gold. Bought them, painted them, and this again stays somewhere close by me. I was at a seminar a few weeks ago, and we did a thing where you put your palms out and you give God your fear or whatever it is you needed to give him. Mine was fear that day. And you ask him for a word that he's going to replace it with. And he gave me the word tenacity. So they gave us rocks. And so now I have the word tenacity that I can have and keep, you know, front and center of me to remember when I have fear that I also have tenacity. And this is what can get you through that. Show and tell is over.